If you took health advice from like every corner of the internet or every podcast, you'd be left with pretty much no food that's safe to eat.
Nothing.
All of your habits would be in question. And it's no wonder we're so confused and exhausted. And especially recently, it feels like there's sort of this uprising of women who are like, I am just done being crunchy. It's just too much. I can't keep up with all of the rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. And that is a heartbreaking discussion to me because I feel like we've just lost so much nuance and we've lost so much grace.
Yeah. My name is Lisa, mother of 8 and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today I'm having Fallon back on. I had her on, I want to say like a year ago, maybe more. Time flies. But today we're going to talk about implementing new information and information overload in this day and age, which is a very pressing problem for a lot of people, women especially I feel like someone who is newer on the journeys of like, you know, health and wellness, or especially new moms, anybody on the beginning edge of that, really, this can be such a problem. I had it too, but I didn't have the internet in the way that it is right now. And so it did feel more simplified. I had certain books that I read, certain blogs that I read, but there wasn't this like every person having an account to teach me about certain things that are very contradicting. It felt more black and white back then than it does now. And so it can be quite overwhelming. So we're going to have a good conversation today with Fallon to talk about how she navigates that. And of course, I'll throw in what I've learned over the years as well. Fallon, welcome back on. I know I had you on, I don't even remember now how long ago that was, but I'm excited to have you back on to catch up and answer a listener question. So for those who don't know you, let's start there. What are you up to these days? I know you guys don't do the Freely Rooted podcast anymore. So what's going on in your world? And you can introduce yourself to the listeners as well.
Firstly, thank you for having me back. This was just so exciting to get the email asking for a chat. I am very much looking forward to this conversation today, too. Mm-hmm. I would love to give a brief update. Honestly, we're in such a rest, like chill focus season, and that's beautiful. I'm not putting out like new cookbooks right now. We are just kind of, you know, focusing on family time and homeschool, enjoying the brief moments of sunshine when we can. So it's a great season. It's nice and calm.
Yeah, that's always good, especially as a content creator. There are infinite opportunities, literally. Like you could, I was talking to my dad about this yesterday because he finds this whole internet business thing just completely mind blowing. And I'm like, well, I mean, you could do this. And this is like, well, why don't you? I'm like, because I don't want to work from sunup to sundown. But I could, and it would work. That's the thing, is like you build these followings and these platforms, and you literally have unlimited opportunity. And in some ways it's like, okay, but just because you can doesn't mean that you should. So
exactly. Yeah. Yep. This ties in well with our conversation today. I feel like
it really does. I know, I was thinking that.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, like the conversation today, I'll actually just go ahead and read the listener question so that people can be familiar with what we're going to talk about. Sure. But it does tie in because this isn't necessarily anything to do with like business opportunities or anything like that, but just the opportunities of knowing about health, knowing about a million different ways that you can approach a lot of different things. Okay. So here's the question. Mm-hmm. How do you balance acquiring new information from a book, seminar, et cetera, and finding the time to lay out how to implement it? Sometimes all the information we have access to these days feels like drinking from a fire hose. How do you figure out how to plan out the changes you want to make? I always feel like I'm racing against the clock each day. How much can I get done? Information overload and moms constantly taking in new information from so many sources and then discerning what/how to implement seems like it could be a really interesting discussion. And I completely agree. Mm-hmm. I think this will be a very interesting discussion. So yeah, any first thoughts? I know it's a loaded question that we're going to like break down throughout this whole episode, but any first thoughts on that listener question?
My goodness, I have so many thoughts. And I first want to say how honored I am to be thought of to help answer this question, because I have just walked so much of this in my own journey, just this information overwhelm. And so I am just incredibly, you know, honored and just very thankful to have been a part of this conversation. I think this is such a relatable question. And I think that moms can have the tendency to believe that they're alone in this thought process and this feeling. I think the truth is that all of us are dealing with this to some extent. Nobody's getting it all done. And it makes it worse if you took health advice from like every corner of the internet or every podcast, you'd be left with pretty much no food that's safe to eat.
Nothing.
You know, no habits. Exactly. All of your habits would be in question. And it's like, I mean, it's no wonder we're so confused and exhausted. And I just see so many women, especially recently, it feels like there's sort of this uprising of women who are like, I am just done being crunchy. It's just too much. I can't keep up with all of the rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. And that is a heartbreaking discussion to me because I feel like we've just lost so much nuance and we've lost so much grace.
Yeah.
And I think that there are voices in this world that are making things seem, you know, just hard and fast and, you know, you have to do this and can't do this. And I think we just weren't supposed to have access to so much information. You know, if we think about like historically, information would have been word of mouth. It would have been passed down, you know, generation to generation. Your grandma would have been giving you like all her best tips. And this access to information that we have, I mean, in some ways can be a gift. Like, yes, it's great that if I have a question about a random thing, I can hop online and find the answer, you know, or a semblance of an answer within a few minutes, but it's just unattainable. And it's honestly a little bit suffocating to have access to just so many different people's thoughts.
Yeah.
More is not more. You know, it's like we get so much access to so much that it feels like we just can't make decisions with any sort of confidence anymore. And so just kind of some first thoughts, and then we can, you know, break down maybe some like functional tips. But for me personally, if I find a new piece of information, unless it like really resonates with me, you know, like there's moments where you find something that you're like, oh my gosh, this is the missing puzzle piece that I've been waiting for. It makes so much sense. It like immediately clicks with you. That doesn't happen every time, you know? And so when I find a new piece of information, I normally don't do anything with it right away. You know, I do that initial gut check of like, you know, does this feel like something I resonate with? If the answer is no, great. I move on. Don't worry about it. If there's a part of me that's like, oh, I'm kind of interested in this, I have kind of a wait and see rule for myself. And if it keeps coming to my head just over and over in these random moments, you know, when you get in quietness and you're thinking through like your goals and your hopes, and, you know, if that piece of information or that thought comes back to me during that time, then I start to, you know, pursue it or like figure out what's next and learning more about this. And I think to make things attainable, I, in each season, try to focus on a handful of things that are usually related to something that we're going through at that time. You know, we have a pressing need in our, you know, symptoms or bodies or our home. That's the thing that I choose to focus on in that season. And if it ends up being something sustainable, then I feel like it's easy to kind of implement it into our daily lives. And so here's an example of that. Like, you know, 9 years ago or whatever, when I had never made bone broth at home before, the idea of making bone broth at home was like, I can't do this. This is overwhelming.
Right.
It's new.
Yeah.
Like it seems so stressful. I just want to go buy some. Now that I do make bone broth at home as like a weekly staple, it's like a no-brainer. It's just something that I've incorporated into my rhythm, but it started as something difficult because it was new. And that's okay. Like new things often feel overwhelming. And I think that once you have started to make them habitual, if they continue to feel overwhelming, then maybe it's not the right time for that. And maybe it's not something that seamlessly fits into your rhythm and schedule. And if it doesn't, like, that's okay. We have to have different focus points in different seasons. You know, we need certain things in different seasons of life. Mm-hmm. And so not everything is for every season. And so, you know, I have kind of a list of like 4 or 5 touch point questions. Like anytime I'm presented with new information, my very first question is always, does this make sense historically? Do I have evidence of this being something that humans have done for hundreds of years? Not that, you know, advancements and technological discoveries can't be helpful, but I do think it's a good touch point of like, does this make sense to me? You know, looking right back at the pattern of human history, like this human biology kind of honor, whatever this is. The next thing is, does it make sense for my current season? Do I have the capacity to either implement this thing, learn about this thing? You know, does it make sense for the bandwidth that I have right now? Can I like really stand behind this idea in a conversation that I'm having? So, you know, I get that we kind of learn as we go and that's okay. But if there's a new thought that I'm like, I don't know that I could really justify that. Like if I was talking to somebody about it, you know, I think in the back of my head, I would be playing devil's advocate with myself or questioning the choice. Like if that's the case, maybe it's not a piece of information I need at that time. But if I'm like, if I can get into a passionate conversation about it, then that's important because I believe that we need to believe in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And then I think my other biggest question is like, does this feel attainable? And does it feel like it's going to ultimately bring me more joy, more healing, more purpose, you know, make my life less stressful? Or do I ultimately feel like it's going to add more stress? So obviously that's like 10,000 foot view,
yeah,
big blanket statements, but those are kind of the big things that I think through, you know, whenever I have just something new that I haven't really addressed before.
Yeah.
And then I think too, it's like, we have to just have habits to, I don't know, cut down the noise. So like for me, I do not mindlessly scroll because that's one of the biggest ways that we like find information mm-hmm. that we're like, oh, I don't know that I was ready for this. Or like somebody random saying, you know what, actually this thing you've been eating for 10 years is bad.
Right.
And then, you know, again, that wait and see approach, like if I sit on this for a few days and then I think about it again, then maybe that is something that I can implement. So anyway, I feel like I have like so many functional tips that I could mix into this, but this has just been one big monologue far. So I'd love to hear like your thoughts on any of that.
Well, yeah, no, that's perfect because it was such a loaded question and I wanted a big picture. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned mindlessly scrolling, and that was one of the things that came to mind mm-hmm. was how are you currently acquiring new information and what does that look like for you? So you don't want to just be accidentally coming across information because sometimes that almost feels just like a really stressful way to get it as opposed to intentionally seeking out something that you're interested in. So because you're so much further down on the journey of probably like trying a lot of things, maybe, you know, things that are very opposite each other. Cause that's one of the things was you were talking about, like getting information online. Something can be as simple as like drinking water. You can find schools of thought that say you should drink your half your body weight in ounces. And then schools of thought where you're diluting down your stomach enzymes or whatever.
Right.
And, or your, however that works. And so therefore you can't even digest food. And then you could go from like only meat to only not meat from, I mean, just like it literally, I mean, as you well know, you can find an opposing view for literally everything, like low in iron, take iron, actually don't take iron. So explain a little bit how you go about acquiring new information intentionally now and where you are on your journey that makes maybe that answer a bit different from somebody who's brand new.
For sure. I think in the season that I'm in, because I do have, you know, several years of a foundation that I'm like, I know my hard and fast, more or less. You know, I love to research. And I think that's another thing that's important in this conversation is that that's a personality type. Not everybody loves to do that. I love to consume information. Other people are like, I actually don't want to look this up at all. I want someone to tell me what to do. And that's okay. Those are just different personality types. And so in this current season that I'm in, you know, I choose to seek out information that again is relevant to something that I'm dealing with currently. And I try not to just have this like access to just everything, you know, because again, I've kind of put in, I feel like my time, like researching the foundations. And so I feel like one of the biggest questions that you can ask yourself, you know, a person can ask themselves in different seasons is like, what do I feel like I need right now? And I think that has been just a real go-to question of mine, you know, just as I feel like I used to be less focused on kind of a gracious pursuit, you know, for wellness that I am now. I feel like I used to be very like black and white, hard and fast. And I think that just softens over the years as you just learn more and more that, you know, you don't know it all and nobody does. Mm-hmm. And you just have to like do the best with what you have.
Right.
And so I think asking that question of like, what do I feel like I need? And then, you know, even using that with your family, like your spouse, your kids, like, what do you feel like you need right now in this season? And then whatever that answer is, like, you know, start pursuing that topic and then dive into those, you know, the two or three options on the table and figure out what resonates with you. Because I think like a couple good things to kind of keep in mind with this is that firstly, even good information can be like bad in a season, if that makes sense. So like lifting weights, for example, I feel like most people across the board agree that like this can be a great supportive thing for your health. But if I tell an exhausted, burnt out, like postpartum mom, hey, you should be lifting 3 or 4 times a week, she's going to feel super overwhelmed and like she can't do it all. does that mean that lifting weights is bad? No, but it might not be attainable for somebody in a certain season. And so again, that question of attainability. And then I think the other big thing is
right.
Our belief in what we're doing is nearly as important as what we functionally choose to do. And it seems like the women who are always asking approval, always asking opinions from everyone around them. I mean, even to include a medical team. I say this because I've been that person before where it's like, I had no just inherent intuition about what I should be doing. And it felt like every single topic of like, what do I eat? What do I have in my home? What time do I eat breakfast? You know, what's on the no list and yes list? Like yeah. I was just constantly looking for somebody else to answer that question for me. And I think that's when I was one of the most, I don't know, unhealthy spots that I was in one of the more unhealthy spots that I've been in, because it was like, I was constantly trying to outsource and I just did not believe fully in what I was doing. And so I think, you know, as a starting place, like establishing those core beliefs, establishing, you know, if you want to use a hard and fast no list, which like, again, I think that I don't love to function on black and white rules across the board, but I think it's okay to have boundaries of like, hey, these are foods that we do consume regularly. These are activities that we do regularly. And then these are things that, you know, don't feel supportive for our family or for myself. And like, that's okay. That doesn't mean that, you know, we're not having nuance. It means that we have had boundaries to like cut out some of the noise. And then once you have that list of like, these are my core beliefs, these are the things that I'm saying, you know, absolutely yes to, and things that I'm saying no to, and then make a list of like, what do I want to accomplish or learn about in this particular season? And just focus on that one thing.
Yes. I have so many times throughout the last 15 years have been in a spot where I have felt like this person, like when I read this question, I was thinking, this is, I mean, I could be wrong. It could be any age. I guess it just depends on where you are on that journey. But my first thought was, this is like a new mom, age 25, who is just now getting all this information at once. A lot of it looks contradicting. Mm-hmm. And I have to remember back to when I was that age and feeling that way. And literally at some point throwing my hands up and saying, you know what? I'm going to do like the most basic whole foods and I'm not going to go beyond that. Like, I'm not going to say, well, how do I prepare the whole foods? Or, you know, how do we, not necessarily like with sourcing, because I do try to do good quality sourcing, but taking it so far beyond, like, when should I eat the whole foods? Should I eat it at 6 a.m. or should I eat it at 9 a.m. or should I, you know, space it this way? Or, you know, how should I combine the whole foods? Like, I had, for me, my line for me to enjoy my life and enjoy the food had to literally just be, okay, learn how to cook the basics, like fruits, vegetables, high quality meats, high quality milk, high quality fats, and just in any way I combine them that sounds good, prepare them. And I always thought maybe at some point I'll, you know, have something that'll come up that'll make us have to move into a more strategic approach. But for us, that for the last decade has really worked, because I've been in this type of spot and I'm far from it now, because I just like, I get new information. I'm just like, oh, well, like I'm kind of in that like, eh, yeah. Great. Good for you. Like that just sounds too hard for me. And I already feel like there's really not anything to fix. And so that's another thing. I think people really jump to like, there's always a problem. There's always something to fix, I guess, because of the amount of information. Like if we have a certain specialist in our area that everybody goes to, and if you go to her, you're going to come out of there guaranteed allergic to like three or four things. You will be, you know, dairy free, you'll be gluten free. Right. And, you know, I'm sure like guaranteed if I went there, I would get the same diagnosis, but I'm just like not ready for the diagnosis because I'm like, everything's fine. Like, why would I go to her? And I know that there are different issues, you know? Mm-hmm. So I guess, where do you decide that you even need information beyond that? Like, am I just being way too lazy, I guess, for lack of a better word, in my let's just eat like real foods and just leave it at that approach?
I think that's a beautiful approach, actually. And I think that it's a huge gift to be able to take an approach like that, because, you know, on the flip side, I also felt this huge overwhelm as like a young 20-year-old mom. But my health was also in shambles. And so it was like, when you have an active crisis, it just requires more. It requires more digging, more testing, you know, more answers. And so I think for somebody that doesn't feel that, and it sounds like, you know, you guys have been in a stable place more or less where you don't feel like, oh my gosh, my, you know, thyroid is doing terribly and all these issues are wrong. Like, I just think don't go seeking out information where you don't have to, you know? And I think that the importance of establishing that foundation. Yeah. Like you establish that foundation of we're going to eat whole foods. We're going to cook at home. We're going to do our best to honor, you know, foods that are, you know, not man-made, that sound good to us. That is a fantastic starting place. And I think that it's just a really great example of how to find that balance that, you know, you're not looking for new information just because you're not creating a problem where there's not a problem. You're feeding yourself, feeding your family, eating what you enjoy. And again, it feels sustainable, which I feel like is kind of the key word in all of this conversation is like, can you do this for ever and ever? And if the answer is no, then it probably is not something that, you know, is, I don't know, worth the time to incorporate. Like that's, there's so many things that you could put that label on, but like a crazy diet or, you know, I don't know, just anything that you're like, I'm not going to do this until I die. Maybe it's not worth pursuing, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Like I loved it whenever the pro-metabolic people started saying the intermittent fasting was bad. Cause I'm like, I mean, like snack before bedtime for life. Like, I don't care if it's bad. Like I'm never going to enjoy a health, like a happy life. If I don't get to like sit in bed at night and have something because it's just so nice. Like you put the kids to bed, you get to put on a show. Like finally it's like 9 o'clock and just a little bowl of yogurt with granola or anything, you know, is just like, oh, good thing that that's good now because regardless, it was going to have to happen.
Right. Exactly. And I think it's like those little conversations like that of like, what time do we eat? What do we put together? It's like, I think we just have lost so much intuition as we've stepped into this culture of information overwhelm. It's like 300-400 years ago, was anybody asking this question? Like, did they care that they had a bedtime snack and did they feel bad about it? No, like people just have eaten when they're hungry for all of human existence, you know, given they have access.
Well, like if they were wealthy enough to have the access to that, like, you know, most people today have access to food. And so just the fact that like we even get to do that would have been, you know, pretty exciting.
Absolutely. Thought. Yeah. Just that intuition of like, you know, if I have a 4-year-old, I feel like kids are pretty intuitive at that age still. Like they ask for things that, you know, their bodies actually desire and they don't have all of these preconceived ideas of like, this thing's bad, that thing's bad. And I mean, I actively have a 4-year-old, so I have a great example of this. Like he wants to eat breakfast right away. Like he likes cheese and fruit. He likes to have a bedtime snack. Like those things, I feel like we've lost the intuition for as we've just been inundated with, you know, people telling us that they're not okay anymore. And I think it's good to kind of step back and think like, okay, if a child were presented with this, you know, is it something they would intuitively be against? Because I think, again, these things like don't have a bedtime snack, you know, don't eat breakfast till this time. Like, did we just kind of make those things up or it, like it, do humans intuitively feel those things, you know, when they enter the world, which I feel like a lot of that, the answer is no. Like kids aren't like, oh my gosh, it's 9 o'clock. I can't even have a snack. They're like, I'm hungry and I'm going to eat because I'm hungry. And, you know, just like using some logic in that conversation. Like what have humans always done?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Taking a quick break to tell you about an awesome podcast sponsor, Cozy Earth. I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth bamboo pajamas every single night. I put them in the washer and dry them so that they're ready again because I cannot wait to go to bed in them. They are just so comfortable. Cozy Earth is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 35% off your order with the code FARMHOUSE. Cozy Earth offers bedding products that will transform your sleep. Currently, I wake up 4 or 5 times every night to nurse the baby, and so it's important to me that I have a comfortable bed to get back into to fall asleep more quickly because my sleep can be so interrupted. Cozy Earth bedding is temperature regulating and it has superior softness. All products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. Incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and overall wellness. Treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear and prioritize your self-care and sleep. You can head on over to CozyEarth.com and use the code FARMHOUSE for an exclusive 35% off. Go get your mom the luxury she deserves at CozyEarth.com with the promo code FARMHOUSE.
I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse.
It also seems like sometimes for some people, it's really fun to start some kind of new program that is very strict in some ways. And I feel that like there's part of me, and I just don't have the bandwidth for it, but there's part of me sometimes that like, you know, I'm like, well, what if I, you know, like lifted for an hour a day and like had, I don't even know, like you sometimes get drawn to something just because you want to see a very quick result. You know, like maybe not look puffy after having the baby for years later. And then, you know, there's always the part of me that's just like, oh, well, it eventually always shakes out. It's fine. But, you know, I think that that's part of it is sometimes we just want to start something really drastic, but then it can be really overwhelming and taxing on us. So I don't know. What is your system for like knowing who to trust, seeking out the information, sorting it out? Because there are so many competing voices, like what we were just talking about, intermittent fasting. So for some people, that's like the key to health. And for others, that's the worst possible thing you can do to yourself. I know you talked about like humans always doing this, like learning that intuition. Are there any voices and sources that you trust inherently?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think for me personally, I do not put, I guess, all my eggs in one basket, if you will. There are voices that I trust nearly across the board, but I think every other, you know, wellness account or health account, food account, like there's just some nuances in some gray areas. I don't know that there's a single person, you know, with a platform that I'm like, ooh, 100% of what they say,
right,
I'm in line with. And so I think that's an important thought to take into any new piece of information, any conversation is like, I am not required to agree with 100% of what somebody says, and I probably won't. I mean, even within like a home and a marriage, like husbands and wives don't agree 100% on everything. Like it's just not going to happen to just stumble across somebody that you're like, man, every word out of their mouth is just pure gold. I'm here for it. And so, yes, I have, you know, accounts, podcasts, you know, voices, ideologies that I do align with for the most part. But I think every new piece of information, I try to break it down to think, again, is this sustainable? Does it feel like it resonates with me? Which I feel like that can sound kind of like woo-woo. And I really don't, you know, I think that American culture and westernized culture is very just out of touch with just intuition. You know, like intuition is a huge part of other cultures. And I feel like in the Western world, you know, we always want there to be like a study or, you know, something that we can like see on paper. Not that those things are bad. I love a good PubMed study, like yay for that. But not everything is covered. there's, no. you know, biased information. There's like things that contradict each other. And so I think, you know, some people would want to say like, well, I only believe things that I can, you know, find a study for and that, you know, they're on PubMed and, you know, it's been tested and yada, yada.
But there wasn't a study for it 20 years ago. Like it's new, exactly. you know, so exactly. what's 20 years from now going to look like?
Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think that's why intuition and just that feeling of like resonating with something is actually a very important tool that we have. And it, I think a lot of people want to like kind of shame that approach and say that, you know, we can't like listen to ourselves. And I think there's a lot of room to just like, what does your gut say? You know, I think that that's really important to, you know, even if it's different in different seasons, because like I look back 5 years ago and there are things that I was doing that I felt like, this is it. I feel good about this. I stand behind it. And my views have shifted since then. And that's also okay. You know, it's okay for us to change our mind on even like certain foods or, you know, habits, like topics. I think that's a sign of growth, actually, that we're like willing to shift and change. I don't think it's a bad thing to, you know, be a different person than we were 5-10 years ago. Like, that's okay. And so, you know, for me, when I look through new information, again, it's that question of like, does this resonate with me? Does it feel like this is something that I can pretty seamlessly incorporate into my daily routine, you know, my weekly rhythm? Does it feel like it's going to serve my family? And does it feel like it's going to be something hopeful and helpful and not a burden? Because if it feels like a burden, I'm just not going to do it. It's just the truth. And so that's kind of my like big question is like, does this feel like hopeful, helpful news? Or does it feel like, no, there's no way I'm doing this?
Right. Yeah. And certain things, they become so much easier after, like you were talking about the bone broth, after you've done them a while. So maybe sometimes you just need to like get past that learning curve. But there are some things even after you've done that, that it still isn't really making your life any easier or better. And you, there are viable alternatives. Mm-hmm. And another thing too, is I feel like there's a lot of margin for error that people don't account for. We live in a very, because there is so much information, you can get to the bottom of almost every decision that you're making. And if you're a perfectionist, then you approach every decision with a lot of fear because you could keep researching it and figure out if there's a better option or a better way to do things. Right. And just speaking from like being that person and then having a lot of experience now, there is margin for error. Like you'll make it, you know, like we've done things unless of course, like you're celiac and you're eating gluten, don't do that. But if you have like just, you know, average tolerances to things and you're worried about if you're going to, you know, ferment the bread with yogurt or if you're going to do sourdough or if you're not going to eat grains at all or you're going to do half whole grain or if you're going to ferment it for 24 hours, there's margin for error there. Like you're probably going to be okay.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, again, to just highlight your own approach and journey that I think is such a great example that like when you have sort of stable health, you know, as an individual and as a family, I think that you can, I mean, genuinely change the trajectory of your future by like doing these basic core principles of like eating real food, you know, making things at home. Unless you're in crisis, like you don't necessarily have to get into the weeds quite yet. And so I think, you know, setting up that foundation of even before I know all the right answers, I'm going to make a step. You know, I had an Instagram post the other day talking about, you know, not letting the overwhelm of information keep you from doing anything because, you know, even one step toward wellness is still a step. And so even if you're not ready to figure out like timing and, you know, balancing and like real food, you know, just eating real food, eating enough, those go such a long way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. I've always loved your approach because it does feel more like gentle healing and more of a, not like we're going to, you know, cut out 12 foods and then only live off of this one thing. And again, you said like stable health is what's allowing me to say this. So I understand that there are definitely different situations. But I think for a lot of people, that can be just, you know, a way to approach it without being super overwhelmed. And so I do like that approach. It doesn't feel so drastic, like so black and white.
I appreciate that. And it definitely has been birthed out of sort of an opposite approach, if I'm being honest and like putting myself on display. That, I mean, I did have a long time that I feel like I was not very gracious or nuanced in my health approach, and for a long time existed in that realm of, you know, you have to cut dairy and you have to cut coffee and chocolate and, you know, all of these things that were just like, I don't want to say arbitrary, but it was like, in hindsight, I'm like, it just was so lacking in any sort of, you know, understanding, sustainability, compassion. And so I think the reason why I feel so strongly today about having a grace-based nutrition approach is because of the person that I used to be, in all honesty. And that person was not mm-hmm. thriving. You know, it was like the more rules that I piled onto myself, the less I felt like I was actually thriving and, you know, enjoying my food and enjoying my life and doing well. And nobody really resonates with that message. Like, nobody resonates with the message of you need to, you know, do more here and do less here, and you're not doing enough and stop eating these foods. Like, nobody really appreciates that at the core. And so I think it just took a long time to kind of realize that, you know, I think women in particular really just want this like softness to the voices that they're hearing. And so I always, you know, want to be a place where people don't feel like, oh my gosh, there's just one more thing that I'm doing wrong. You know, I think women mm-hmm. just want to feel empowered and like they can actually attain wellness and, you know, not be like completely burnt out from that.
Yeah. I think it's when there's so much fear of every little thing you're eating and yeah, maybe not being confident mm-hmm. exactly where you are on the journey of, you know, figuring out what you want to implement for your own family. Somewhere along those lines, you're going to eat something that maybe future you would think was not the right thing to eat. And just approaching everything yeah. with fear like that, it just takes all the joy out of it. Like you said, just taking basic foods mm-hmm. and enjoying them is, you know, that's something that everybody can appreciate. Okay. We took some yeah. audience questions, and one is about balancing it all. And this particular question, mm-hmm. I know what this person is saying. So she says, I feel like as moms, we wear different mm-hmm. hats. So while I'm focused on decluttering, let's just say, then I'm not focusing on nutrition and I fall behind on that. How can we balance all of those things? So what is your approach to that? Like, do you stop mm-hmm. worrying about one while you're worrying about the other? Or do you try to do a little bit of each thing if you're trying to juggle maybe learning about homesteading, maybe homeschooling, maybe decluttering your house while also trying to figure out where you stand on which foods are going to be your family's staple diet? So yeah, what is your approach to that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, I think I've kind of put this caveat on a lot of questions, but I think it depends on like, is it a big crisis? You know, if it's a big crisis that we're in like health-wise and I'm like trying to yeah, find answers.
Stop everything else.
Exactly. I will give my energy over to that. If we're in a normal season, I have really found myself shifting toward more attainable goals over daily goals. So for example, you know, I'm going to either eat organ meat or, you know, supplement with organs 3 times this week. I'm going to take a walk 4 days this week and, you know, declutter one room instead of like every single day I am going to take a walk yeah. and every day I'm going to eat organ meat or, you know, whatever the habit is that you're trying to make more regular. It's okay to have daily goals if that suits you. But I do think sometimes it leaves us falling short. And so, you know, my own tendency in this season is to create habits. And then again, if it feels sustainable, like it can easily turn into a daily or weekly thing, then that's fantastic. You know, to give a personal example, I have been leaning a lot more into dental remineralization. We've had some things come up in our kiddos and, you know, in my own dental health. And so like oil pulling has always felt like, oh my gosh, how am mm-hmm. I ever going to get, you know, a handful of minutes a day to just sit and oil pull? I've been doing it every single morning right. seamlessly. Like it's been just absolutely no big deal. But it took that step of like, can I just try this out? And does it feel like it easily works into my current schedule? And it did. There have been other seasons where I didn't feel that so much. Like right. I've tried oil pulling several times over the past decade. And there have been certain seasons where it's like, I don't know if I can do this in. Right. And it just, you know, some things it's like you need it to be the right season for it. And then it fits in seamlessly. But I think in those times where we're trying to pick, like, where do we put our energy? Again, order of importance. Like if you have a, you know, a child that's right. dealing with like really intense health stuff, I think it's okay to put a lot of your energy right there.
Yeah.
And then in other seasons that feel like, you know, it's a little bit more just like a normal season, I like making a list of like three or four things. I've even started keeping a journal of just kind of a, I don't know, like a brain dump journal where I've got days that are like, this is what I'm thankful for today. And then days where I'm like, these are my, you know, prayer requests. And then days that it's like, what are the three things that I really want to make a habit of this week? Something like oil pulling right. might show up on there. It's like a few things that feel like, man, I feel like this is the most important thing for me to hone in on. And again, make it a rhythm over like a daily checklist. Mm-hmm. If you're a daily checklist type person and that suits you, I also think that's great. I'm more of a rhythm kind of gal. And so I'm like, if I accomplish something three or four times that week, that's a win. Like, I don't need to feel bad that I didn't do it every single day. Like yeah. habits over perfection. Absolutely.
Yeah. And like you mentioned with the oil pulling, it only takes a few minutes a day, but there are mm-hmm. so many things that only take a few minutes a day. And you do have to figure out where, what are the priorities right now? What's the most pressing issue that we are currently having? Mm-hmm. And so what, you know, five few minute a day type of things am I going to put into my habits, you know, because you can't do mm-hmm. it all. Like I was thinking about that. I was having a thought about yeah. how some people dress their kids really cute. You know, they look really presentable. And you would say, well, it only really takes a few minutes a day to like get them in these certain outfits. Some people make sourdough bread. Mm-hmm. And I would say, well, but it only takes a few minutes a day for me to pull together a sourdough bread. Like literally, it's no big deal. You right. oil pull. Well, it only takes a few minutes a day. It's like, okay, that's so true. Right. But you have to figure out like what little list of few minutes a day things are going to be the most pressing for your family. And even though I've been convinced yeah. of oil pulling in the past, I forgot it even existed until you just said it. And maybe I'll try to think right. about it. But like right now I was like trying to figure out like some more skincare stuff because lately I'm like realizing that I'm aging. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm getting old. I just noticed. Aww. But like, so my few minutes a day is now going into that, right? Like it never did before, but now it is. So like sure. forget oil right. pulling. You know, you just have to figure out like with yep. you, where you are right now, what are the priorities? Because you can mm-hmm. only do so many few minutes a day things.
Absolutely. And those can change in different seasons. Like, I feel like I have my own handful of, you know, things that I'm like, okay, in this season, these are my daily things. Like right now, oil pulling, gua sha, like getting some red light because it's winter, you know, things like that. Like,
okay, red light. See, that's one of the things I learned about with my face. Would you recommend yes. that? Like one of those masks? I'm like thinking about oh my buying gosh. One. Those off masks, topic, but I'd like to put that into my few minute a day things.
Yeah. I do not know much about the mask brands. They are hilarious to me.
Okay.
They do.
I've never done one, but I've been like yeah. Googling things and I'm like, oh my gosh, people are putting masks on their face. It's so I've done funny. No red light therapy.
Right. I think it's a great thing. I mean, also the thing is like you can get red light from the sun. So, you know, it's a give and take of like, do I live in a place that like doesn't have a lot of sunshine. I can't really get sun in the winter. Maybe a red light panel would be awesome. I'm in Texas. So like, yes, I do like to use it, but I can also most days step outside and like get some decent sunshine. So again, it's like what feels like it just is important in this specific season, you know, and then
right.
in the mm-hmm. next, it might even be a literal season, like in the winter, I'm like, we're going to focus on,
right.
you yeah. know, getting enough like whole food vitamin D in our diets and, you know, getting sunshine when we can. And then in the summer, like our habits and priorities are going to look different. And you just, yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head. It's like, pick a few habits that only take a few minutes and hone in on those for that season. And you can change them as you know, either have things resolved and, or, you know, you have another crisis come up. Like it's just a constant shift of what we're prioritizing. And I think that's okay.
I think for me, just since I have 8 kids, and so I always have a baby or I'm pregnant at all times, I think that I yeah. probably just don't do any of them. And my few minutes a day is like nursing a child. Sure. So there's that too. Like,
right.
you know, even just like a few things that I hear, I'm like, eh, that sounds great, but I'm not going to get to it because,
right.
you know, that's where my extra time is. And so it's just yeah. not apples to apples with everybody. Based mm-hmm. on a lot of factors. So
absolutely. I think that's so wise.
That's what's so hard about social media.
I know. It makes you think you have to do all things at all times, but I think that's so just spot on and a great reminder because like, you know, I've got 3 boys that are 4, 8 and 10. So like more or less they're in a more independent season. You know, like I don't have a baby. I'm not nursing. And so I have a little bit more bandwidth and time freedom than a mom who's got like 3 kids under 4. And so also that grace of just like, right, what life season are you in? You know, not even just like miniature season, like grand scale. You have little bitty babies. Your job right now is to like eat enough, get good sleep, and, you know, try to get some sunshine. Like you might not be in the weeds of like, oh my gosh, should I get a red light panel and should I start oil pulling? Like, again, don't let this information like overwhelm you if you're not in a season where, to go back to this word, where if that doesn't resonate with you, like, don't sweat it. It's not for you in this season and that's okay.
Yeah. I always like when I hear about the oil pulling and or anything that I'm like, oh gosh, now how do I implement that? I'm like, well, good thing for modern dentistry because, you know, I think that your approach is definitely better. But then sometimes I just feel like, oh, I can't. I've been in the dental obsessive phase of life before. And I've tried to remineralize some kids' teeth. And for the most part, we've like done very well with that. We've had hardly anything come up. But with the few things that we have had come up, I've like gone down the rabbit hole of remineralizing teeth and just feeling like, how am I going to get this to happen? Mm. And I've just mostly given up and figured, you know, for the most part, the diet that we do prevents anything like that from happening. And so I think, that's just where I am with what I have on my plate. But I guess that's all to say, like,
for sure,
if you're feeling like it's all overwhelming, I am there with you a lot of times. And I just end up like, mostly saying it's fine. Like it ends up working out.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, again, that's okay. It's like, if you're not in a crisis where it's like, oh my gosh, I have to have this thing solved right now, then it's not worth, you know, feeling overwhelmed just because you want to like tick all the wellness boxes.
Right, right. Okay, so a couple questions about early motherhood. Mm-hmm. This one is, I guess, not really a question, but speak specifically to new moms and where to start.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've covered some of these good foundations. I think step one is eating whole foods at home and eating enough. I think, you know, especially for those younger, newer, like postpartum moms, eating enough is a big struggle because you're juggling just so many things. And so I think like bare minimum.
And we don't hear that much. We hear
exactly
the opposite.
And it's really so
we
sad.
Really do.
Yeah. And honestly, like this specific thought is kind of what my entire, you know, platform and business was birthed out of, was wanting to educate women on eating enough and how much that can genuinely change their lives. Mm-hmm. And so I have like a calorie quiz on my website that can help you figure out, you know, how much you need and then meal plans to go along with that. Because I do think that's one of the best things that you can do as a new mom is, you know, eat at home, focus on cooking with like saturated fats that are heat stable, you know, use real ingredients, balance your meals just like vaguely, like eat protein and carbs. You know, I'm not talking about like you need to go log and track. And like, if you have a protein and a carb, you're doing great. Use real sweeteners like maple syrup.
Okay. What about fat in there?
Yeah. I just going to say the great thing about fat is that most protein already has a little bit. And so I think healthy fats are incredibly important, but we're usually getting those without trying to, if that makes sense. Like if we're making some chicken, we're probably already cooking with butter, and that, you know, depending on the cut of chicken, it probably has some fat in it. Or like red meats usually, you know, have a little bit of fat as well as protein. And so, you know, fat is kind of an effortless macronutrient, if you will. Like it kind of usually ends up in our diet from one thing or another. Right. So if you want like bare bones, like, you know, I want to balance well, just aim for a protein and a carb, and the fat will usually fall into place with your cooking oil or your meat cut, something like that. But yeah, I just think those like real whole food preparation goals are huge. Like when you're grocery shopping, like, do you know what's in it? You know, is it like a single item thing, or do you recognize the ingredients on the box? Like that to me is like, let's just start here, you know, start with whole foods, start with cooking at home, you know, using foods that have been historically eaten. So, you know, not falling into the like every meal should be raw salads craze, because like that, we don't see that historically, you know, like those are the basic things that like nourish your body. as a new mom. And I think that's honestly like one of your biggest priorities for that season.
Well, that sounds simple enough, honestly. Another one was, what healthy foods do you prioritize with a lower budget? I think what you just said really goes into it, because a lot of the foods that have the unrecognizable ingredients that have been processed are going to be more expensive.
Yeah, I love this question because I literally sent out an email last week on this exact topic. So it's fresh in my mind. And I a lot of people are just struggling with food budgets right now. I mean, everything has gotten so expensive. Surprisingly, eating in season and locally is a lot more affordable than I think people realize, because, you know, you're often cutting out the middleman, you're cutting out shipping across the country. You know, we have a local farm co-op, and those can be kind of tricky to find, but, you know, usually can, if you look around a little bit. We get like Primal Blend ground beef for like $5.99 a pound. I mean, that's cheaper than most just like conventional ground meat at the store. So all that to say, it's worth checking. You know, I think a lot of people think like, oh man, if I sourced well and bought local and in season, it's going to be more expensive. That's not always the case. You might actually save money by, you know, talking to your local farmer. Bulk stores can be great, not across the board, but I think especially for things like, you know, massive bags of frozen produce, those are a really great way to stretch your dollar a little bit and get the most nutrients, because usually produce is frozen pretty immediately after harvesting. Whereas fresh produce, you know, it's maybe sat, it's been transported on a truck, you know, X amount of miles, and then sits in the store. Frozen produce, you know, really locks in those nutrients that they had whenever the food was harvested. And then, you know, foods like potatoes, carrots, onions, most ground meats. Yes, those are all incredibly affordable. And for when this episode airs, I'm pretty sure potatoes and carrots are also in season, which again is another way to really reduce costs, because it is much easier for those crops to be, you know, stored, shipped, sold when they are actually in season. So those are just small ways that you can kind of, you know, stretch things, and even like buy a rotisserie chicken that you cook at home, you know, a whole chicken, like make yourself a whole chicken at home, use that meat, save the bones, cook your bone broth, like use your scraps, you know, toss your veggie scraps in there.
Vegetable soup.
Exactly. Like, how can you reuse, repurpose the food that you're already buying and make it go just as far as you possibly can?
Yeah. And even little swaps, like I make kefir smoothies most mornings and I throw in some frozen strawberries or blueberries. But if the budget's really, really tight, do frozen bananas or just like a cheaper fruit than that. And like put in like a little bit of honey or, you know, I always, whenever back in the day, like when Luke and I first got married and we had two kids and three kids and four kids and the grocery budget was a lot tighter, I would think about things like that. Like, what's a cheap fruit? So I'm getting basically the same thing, but with a less expensive, like cut of meat, fruit, that kind of stuff. And root vegetables was a major staple. Still is. Yeah. We use root vegetables just all day, every day. So,
Another great thing too is to check the current EWG Clean 15 and Dirty Dozen list. And those are just the foods, you know, Dirty Dozen foods tend to have a little bit more pesticide sprayed. The Clean 15 foods, you know, tend to have a little bit less. And so those are foods that, you know, you can buy conventionally without as much of a concern. You know, I do love to prioritize organic. That's important to me. Not, you know, everyone can do that in every season. Even I can't do that in every season, you know, so knowing those foods that are on the Clean 15 list, typically it's like cabbage, potatoes, carrots, kiwi, pineapple, sweet peas, sweet corn. Those things don't have as high of pesticide amounts. And so it's a little bit more, you know, budget friendly and body friendly to buy them just conventionally grown. You know, you don't have to get everything organic if you can't. So it's helpful to figure out like, what things can I kind of sacrifice a little bit of quality on without sacrificing like all of the quality, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. And there's certain things where, you know, if you can't afford it organic and it's on the Dirty Dozen, then like, for example, apples, you don't have to eat apples outside of the fall. You don't have to, you know, like it's nice. We enjoy having apples because it's just like a really easy, convenient snack, but you don't have to have apples. That's a food group you could just totally, or not food group, it's just one fruit, but that's just one thing that you could just not have at all. And I think we sometimes forget that you can take the less expensive items and just make up a whole good diet mm-hmm. with all of the macronutrients without buying every single thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do like to remind people too, I kind of have a phrase that I come back to in, you know, posts and podcasts and things like that, just that, you know, buying conventionally grown whole foods is still better than eating processed foods. So, you know, if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't buy everything organic, that's okay. Like, still eat whole foods. Like, yes, there is a little bit of a difference between, you know, just your conventional grocery store egg versus like pastured, organic, you know, local eggs that you got, but like eggs are still incredibly nutrient dense, you know? And so I think, again, like to kind of
macronutrient wise, like protein still equal, absolutely. You know, you're still getting that.
Yes, absolutely. And so to kind of further this encouragement to like mitigate just the fear that's everywhere, it's like, we just do what we can, you know, and getting whole foods, like even if they are on the dirty dozen list and like they weren't organic and, but you couldn't, you know, stretch your budget to get anything different. Like, it's still a better choice than having gone through the drive-through, you know, or bought that or purchased that, you know, I don't know, man-made like chemical storm of whatever at the store. Like, it's still a better choice and it's okay.
Right. Yep. I know. I've heard people say that, well, it's just less expensive to eat unhealthy foods. And I'm like, I don't know what you're eating, because that's actually not true at all.
Right.
I mean, like you said, the drive-through.
I know.
We were on a trip last week and we had to go through the drive-through, which we don't do much. And we literally spent $100. I'm like, what? People said this was supposed to be the cheap
way. That is crazy.
It's not cheap.
Right. I know. It's so funny.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been such a good discussion. I feel like we could just continue to talk about it, but this is definitely some good information to chew on. So where can the listeners find you and follow along? Also, definitely plug those meal plans. I love the idea of when you're just trying to figure out, okay, but I want a little bit more parameters. I want to see some examples. Like, I want to see Fallon, like, what do you eat in a day ish? You know, you can adapt it to maybe like swapping things out, but just to get the general idea. So where can they find all of that?
I appreciate that. And I've really loved this conversation. I agree with you that I feel like we could have talked for another solid hour because there's just so much goodness in this whole topic. I am on Instagram under Fallon Danae, and I primarily focus on recipes. My sort of digital baby was my meal plans, and those are calorie specific to help women, again, make sure they're eating enough. It's got just a very, you know, attainable laid out structure for the woman who really wants that. Again, I think there's different personality types. There are women who are like, I want the structure, you know, I want everything in front of me. So that content has sourcing recommendations, brand recommendations, you know, additional resources to pursue. And then nearly 40 recipes that are made like genuinely for the whole family. And then my other two products are both cookbooks. One was made kind of with the postpartum mom in mind. It's called Batch, and it's focused on those like warming, really nourishing meals that, you know, you can make either ahead of time or for a big crowd. And that one's a lot of fun, has basically all of your favorites, like in the most nutrient dense form. That's kind of my motto for all of my recipes. It's like, these are your favorite foods with the most nutrient density possible. And so, you know, all of my cookbook have like brownies and like baked mac and cheese and, you know, ramen, like just all the foods that you really love and want to eat. And then my third cookbook is called Fixins, which is Southern style. I'm a Texas girl. And so I had to put out like a, you know, nutritionally enhanced version of all of our favorite, like fried chicken and, you know, peach cobbler and all that. And I love getting to make recipes. You know, I do it for women like me who felt like they were overwhelmed in the kitchen. They didn't know when to eat. They were bored with, you know, trying to pursue all of these diet realms that told them to cut out everything and like just want to eat in a way that honors, you know, historically what people have eaten, that honors like what do we want to eat. And then of course nutrient density is a big priority for me. So you can find all of that on my website. It's just fallonstable.com. And then if you find me on Instagram, I have a lot of great like free recipes. I have a free download on my site. I try to just inundate my platform with helpful things and, you know, ways to make this wellness journey as, you know, as attainable as I possibly can.
Simplified. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been very encouraging, and I know the listeners will feel the same. Thanks again.
Awesome. Thank you, Lisa.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Fallon and I were chatting a bit after hitting stop, and I asked her if it was her website, I thought it was, where you can take a calorie quiz. As you noticed, Fallon emphasized a lot that women don't get enough to eat. We live in a culture where we really idolize, you know, a certain body type, and we have certain foods that are on the no list. We have a lot of fear surrounding food. And because of all of that, we end up not eating intuitively, and therefore we end up not eating enough. It can be more than just the fear, though. It can also just be that we're very busy and we don't prioritize our own health. I am 100% guilty of that. I'm sure if I revisited the calorie quiz and if I revisited, like actually took track of what I was eating, I'm sure I would be in that same state with the rest of you. But it's a good reminder, and you can head over to fallonstable.com to check out the quiz and any of her corresponding meal plans and recipes and cookbooks that can help you to solve that issue if you do find that you are in that same boat. All right, well, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast.